A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 10 June 2025, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at volume 4, chapter 3, A Parables. Okay, come. So as usual, let us gather for physical puja. Namo Bensi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo.Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Yausufo, Namo Yausufo, Namo Yausufo, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa.Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagawantang AbhivademiSuakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama SambuddhassaBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami.Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapada SamadhiyamiAdinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiSura miraya majapamadatana Viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Ganna sambara yutena Dipena tamadang sinaTiloka dipang sambudang Pujayami tamono ธังกันตาสัมบารายุเตนะดุเพนะหังสุขังหินะปูจาเยปูจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจานะโมตะมังวันนะกันตาโกโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตาตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหมีบุตังกสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมเตนะเจโหตุโมกังภูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังOkay, now we shall recite our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understandingTo dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dhanaparami of generosity and the fruits of our karma,so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerelyStrive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers.Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Padang Pujemi.ธัมมังปุจเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิ So remember to develop the stability of inner awareness. For those who still need to train, the four support is very important. Develop the four support to help you stabilize the inner awareness. These are awareness-based meditation. The four support needed to develop this awareness-based meditation. Always remember, the first support is always relax. No matter what happens, just learn how to relax body and mind until you are soothingly relaxed, at ease, completely relaxed, without thought, without stress, without tension, without any disturbance. So feel yourself soothingly relaxed, at ease. Then after that, you continue to develop the second support, which is our natural awareness within. Silence everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just maintain awareness within. Whatever arises within your form and mind, just maintain awareness. Aware, silent. Aware, finish. Don't allow the thought to continue to manifest or proliferate. If thought continue to arise, it means you are not in sati. Sati will naturally be there the moment you are without thought. So when you can relax, maintain awareness, it will help you decondition the heedless thinking and allow the whatever unsettled sankhara activity or thought process to slow down, slow down, slow down. Then as we all understand, we are a conscious being capable of arising sense or consciousness. So whenever there is contact at any of our six sense bases, consciousness will arise. And when it arises, through our habitual thinking or movement or reaction, we tend to get entangled with that sense experience that manifests from that contact. So like the dwelling is clearly mentioned. Avijja paccaya sankhara. When there is ignorance upon contact, ignorant condition, sankhara activity. So avijja paccaya sankhara is a movement that is very rampant in most human beings. And because of that, living beings who are not trained in their mind to develop the inner awareness, they think a lot. They react to sense experience. When they react to sense experience, they stir their mind through their own like and dislike, through their own sensual desire and ill will. These are mental hindrances. The first two mental hindrances. They will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why this four support is to let you understand what is going on, so that it will help you decondition all this heedless thinking, all this habitual activity, or reaction to sense experience, thereby creating the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will. So relax into every mind state that arises, then maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, silent. Then continuously allow the mind to settle down, to stabilize this inner awareness, So the third support is to stabilize this inner awareness through constant mindfulness training. Whatever arises, aware, finish, aware, finish, stabilize the mind. Then after that, it will settle down. Then once the mind settles down, you become very quiet, very still. Then you can realize the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silence within. That is your true mind. So stay with that silent mind, inner awareness. Be aware from there. Whatever arises, there is an awareness within. But from that awareness, thought arises very fast because of your memory that carries the knowledge, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, the belief systems, and everything that you have accumulated, including your phobia, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, even your sorrow, lamentation. All this, they can surface and haunt you. That's why when you don't have the understanding and the wisdom, you will cling, you will attach, you will hold. And to you, it's like these are habitual movement that you cannot understand. So awareness-based meditation is to allow us to stabilize our inner awareness, to see all this, to understand how we function as a human being, how we stir our mind, how we react to sense experience, how we develop emotions, how from the pure feeling we stir the mind and create the various type of emotion. The emotion can be in the form of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, or even like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction. Sometimes it's deep resentment, aversion, or phobia. All this will manifest. But if you can continue to silent and observe, then you realize these are dependent originating mind state, born of your wrong view, sakkayadity, self-delusion. Without this wrong view, your mind will not stir. You must develop instead the straightening of views to come to terms with the reality, to see things as they are, to accept all things as the way it is. So ability to develop that wisdom, to see things as they are, to understand that whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And the causes and conditions, they follow nature's law that governs life and existence. So if there is a case, like the Buddha say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind, which means that reality is already set. That's why you cannot disagree and want things your way. These are nature's condition. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions are the panchaniyamas that governs all of the movement of life. So when you understand this, the first thing you must understand is you have to come to terms with that reality, with what is. What is the reality. So when you accept, you are at peace. your mind does not stir, does not react. There is tranquility, stillness. There is no stirring, no reaction, no movement. And you can be at peace. When you are at peace, there is clarity. There is no sankhara movement, activity, which means no duality, no like, no dislike, no word, no concept, nothing. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things are like that. Living beings are just the way they are. The world is the world. Everything is just the way it is. So with that understanding, we continue to exhibit that ability to accept what happened within the moment, that tranquil state of mind, that peace within, that clarity within. From there, we can observe clearly. There is clarity. Then we can understand what is going on. And from there, we contemplate, we reflect, then we act. Act according to the Dhamma way, following the Noble Eightfold Path, as taught by the Buddha. You cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path and act according to it, then it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's how we live life. That's how true action can arise. So awareness-based meditation is capable of understanding all this. Then it can also, through that silent, the awareness nature within, insight into phenomena and awaken to their universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Okay, with this, I'll let you meditate on your own. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta cakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang padanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang padanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang padanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo สันติติโกอักกาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกโอปานายโกปัจจะตังเวทิตาโบวินโนหิทิสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาเยหะปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติทังจัตตาริปุริสายุคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตักขิเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตรังปุญญังเขตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเคโอเคมิสเตอร์ we shall now continue from where we stop eh?We are at page about 706. Okay, I will read. There is a verse from a Chinese medical text that states, when the source of heaven and the cavern of the moons interconnect, springtime pervades the 36 palace. When one realizes the state of the firstDhyan, or in the Theravada tradition, is the first jhana. The 36 parts, the 36 major parts of the body experience great happiness. Springtime is a metaphor for this blissful feeling. Permeates all the 36 partsor major parts of the body. This is an explanation from a medical perspective, although everyone in the field of medicine can recite this verse, few understand it. The ground of joy and bliss of abandoning affliction is a state of happiness that can be experienced not only when you sit in meditation,but also while walking, standing, sitting, or lying down. The more you cultivate, the more enhanced this state becomes. As you continue to meditate longer, your pulse stops. At that point, 2 hours pass as if they are only 5 seconds. So this isPossible because when you are in a state of jhanas, the perception of time, which is relative, can appear different. Or you may sit in meditation for an entire day and feel as if it only has been 5 minutes. The Venerable Master Xun, the patriarch, the famous monk, Xun Lao He Sang, meditated on Zhongnan Mountain for 18 days in this state. You can attain this kind of state if you meditate earnestly. It's not that difficult. Young people tend to attain this state relatively quickly. If you do not meditate or cultivate, then of course you cannot attain it. But if you work hard and cultivate, you in your human body will attain the state of the first Dhyan. This state is not exclusive to the devas or the gods. There is nothing very special or extraordinary about it. It's the first step in cultivation, just getting in the door. This state certainly does not represent a high level of attainment. For example, a few days ago, according to Xuanhua, he said that there was someone here in our lecture hall who had attained this state, but it's only the first step on the journey. If you wish to gain genuine benefits, that is, if you wish to realize sainthood or sagehood, you must be vigorous and keep moving forward in your cultivation. Don't just stop where you are. Actually, all this jhanic experience, although it's described by Xuanhua, but in the actual cultivation, for those who really understand the jhana, they have their jhanic factors. And of all the five jhanic factors, only one of them is the enlightenment factor. Maybe I write it on the whiteboard. Jhanic factors for the attainment of jhanas. First is vitaka. I don't know got Asia or not. Maybe no Asia. Vitaka. This is applied thought. Then the second jhanic factor is sustained thought, vichara. Then number three is piti. Piti is the type of spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. And number four is vitaka, vichara, piti, sukang. Sukang is blissfulness of mind, blissful state. Then the last jhanic factor is ekagata, or what they call one-pointedness of mind. So of these five jhanic factors, only piti, the third jhanic factor, is an enlightenment factor. You see, in the early days, especially before the advent of the Buddha's teaching, jhanas are very common practice or cultivation, because like we understand, most people find it very difficult to train the mind to make it peaceful, calm, tranquil, or develop concentration. So concentration, they call it, there is a word for it. They didn't call it samadhi, they call it, there is a word, concentration, samatha, samatha. So this word samatha is concentration, born of focusing the mind. So concentration, this one, come from focusing the mind. Whereas the other one, which the Buddha calls samadhi, is not samatha. Samadhi is the mind that is collected and unwavering. This is a free mind. This mind is a free mind. So that is the main difference. A free mind that is collected and unwavering. So what happened is, what is described here by Xuanhua is, he said, initially, if you cultivate these jhanic factors, it will lead to the first jhana. So what happened to most people who do this type of samatha meditation is they will apply the thought on something. It can be on an object of meditation or a point where you just focus, apply your thought. So sometimes they use kasina, sometimes they use various object of meditation, like focusing on the breath, or focusing on any of the object of meditation. Then sometimes it's on, they call kasinas. Kasina can be like the earth kasina, water kasina, or wind kasina, the four elements. Then they can also apply to light kasina. There are about 10 types of kasina where you can use it to develop this type of jhanic experience or jhanas. So there are four form jhanas, means within the form world where the Brahma reside, they establish the first four jhana. And these are called form jhana is because they still are within the realm of form. They call it the Rupa Loka. So first they apply their thought on something to hold it so that it does not wander off, because they don't know how to develop the free mind that is in the state of samadhi. The free mind that is collected and unwavering, they cannot do this. Because the moment they don't have something to hold on to, the thought become heedless. It think a lot because of habitual tendency, because of mental hindrance and all those things. But once you have developed the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance no more. That's why in the sutta where Xuanhua just now mentioned, he said, when the mind is free of the five mental hindrance, you establish the first jhana. So for the mind to be free of mental hindrance, it must not have this movement of sensual desire and ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. So what they do is they concentrate, they focus, they apply their thought, and they sustain their thought there. So that this mind become like concentrated, focused, or sustained. Yeah. Then what happens is, when this thing is done, and when you train it long enough, there is no thought. Understand? No thought doesn't mean that no other mind state or energy to hold. That's why I call this a conditioned state. Where you apply your thought, you sustain your thought, you like kill all the thought and force it not to arise. So when you are in that state of concentration, you actually experience piti also. Piti is a spiritual joy or spiritual calmness. You feel joy, peaceful, calm, because no thought. The thought activity and movement is not there, but is a conditioned state held together by the thought that actually focus. No thought is a thought is because that thought that focus and concentrate is a thought, and etc. So that is not a free mind. That one still has thought. Yeah. Then what happens is when piti arises, initially you feel very good because most people find it very difficult to experience even the state of peace and calmness. Not to say experience a type of spiritual joy. Yeah. Means a type of peace within, born of no thought. Yeah. Then after that you continue to relax or continue to develop this concentration, then it becomes transform to a more refined state of what we call sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind. This one, the word blissful, is really true. It's not an exaggeration. You really feel very, very blissful. Your entire body is engulfed with that type of bliss inside there. Yeah. That's why sometimes they say, when you experience this state, yeah, they use it as an analogy. Yeah. They say, this experience is better than the, what they call it, the sexual ecstasy. Yeah. So here, those who actually frequently develop this jhanic state, they tend to have a tendency to attach and cling to this blissful state and want it repeated. Yeah. But as you continue to relax and develop the meditative training, then what happens is this blissful state will also disappear. Then the mind becomes very quiet, very still, because it's all held onto one-pointedness. That's why the last jhanic factor is ekagata. Ekagata is one-pointedness of mind. This one will develop the jhana. Then they will have a lot of energy build up at this one-pointedness of mind. Then when this energy build up, there's a very strong energy that push up from the head onward. Then when it's the first jhana, normally it's the first level of energy. Then it can move up higher, second level. They call it second jhana, third jhana, then the fourth jhana. So when you do that, this jhanic factor will actually develop in stages. So initially, as you can see, at the first jhana, all these five jhanic factors are there. Means there is still thought, anasana. The thought that is applied. The thought that is sustained. Then after they develop this over some time, they find that this first two is too gross. Then they realize after constant training, means after you have trained these jhanic factors to a very stable extent, you can do away with vitakka and vichara. You no need to apply your thought and sustain your thought. You can straight away go to your object of meditation and develop the concentration straight away. Yeah. Then, once you relinquish that first two, you go to the second jhana. So second jhana, you still have three. Okay? Piti, sukhang, and ekagata. But as you develop further, at the third jhana, you will relinquish what they call piti. You find piti is already too gross. So this will be relinquished. Then you have two more. Yeah. Then when you are able to relinquish the fourth one, this sukhang jhanic factor, you will only be left with ekagata. This is what they call the fourth jhana. These are form jhana. So at the fourth jhana, where there is only one-pointedness of mind, that's why they call this equanimity of mind. But this is a conditioned state. This type of upeka is not the real enlightenment factor born of wisdom. So this one, they also call it equanimity of mind. Because when you are in this state, one-pointedness, there is no thought, no duality, nothing. It's like you are enlightened. But this is a conditioned state. This is not a free mind. The five mental hindrances are still suppressed. And the reason why the mental hindrances are not there is because you develop a conditioned state of mind which is in concentration, which is in the state of jhana. That's why all this manifests. And Shenhua is trying to describe this. Because in the early days, a lot of cultivators, they are actually attracted to all this. They call it the 四禅八定. 四禅 is the first four jhana, the form jhana. Then after that, you can move further up from here to the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th jhana. But that one, they use a object of meditation that is different from the form jhana. The object of meditation they use is beyond the form, is the formless rhyme. So at the 5th jhana, they move away from all their other object of meditation. They focus and concentrate on infinite space. So the 5th jhana is infinite space. When you concentrate your mind on that, then this mind will move into the formless realm of infinite space. Then after that, they move on to the 6th jhana, which they call it infinite consciousness. They use consciousness as the object of meditation. So they focus and concentrate their mind on consciousness and develop the infinite consciousness. They call it the sphere of infinite consciousness. So first is infinite space, the 5th jhana, or the first arupa jhana, formless jhana. Then the 6th jhana, which is the second arupa jhana, which is the sphere of infinite consciousness. So infinite space, infinite consciousness. Then number 7, which is the third supra, we call it the formless realm, arupa jhana. There is nothingness. When your object of meditation is on like emptiness, completely empty, yeah, and they call it nothingness, like the whole thing is empty, nothing inside there. So they call it the realm of nothingness. Then yeah, after that, they move on to the final one, where the mind state becomes so refined, so still, it's like you neither exist or you don't exist. They call it the sphere of neither perception or non-perception. So these are the 8 jhana. This one is for academic. You don't have to do it. No point. You're wasting your time if you do it. Because the teacher of Sakyamuni Buddha, before he became the Sammasambuddha, Alara and Udaka, he taught the Bodhisattva these 8 jhanas. The first teacher taught him until the 7th jhana, the realm of nothingness. But the last teacher reached the realm of neither perception nor non-perception. Your mind becomes so refined, like so still. It's like you neither exist or don't exist. So this formless realm, when you take birth there, if you develop that type of meditation, their lifespan is very, very long. Very, very, very long. It seems that 4 formless realm, they are talking about at least don't know how many eons. Then the last one is, I think, 10,000 over eons. They can live for so long. Well, their mind is like there is no mind. So these are the jhanic factors. So going back to just the notes, I will explain it again. You see, the ground of joy and bliss of abandoning affliction, this is the part. It's a state of happiness that can be experienced not only when you are sitting in meditation, but also while you are walking, standing, sitting, or lying down. Any other 4 posture. This is talking about the first jhana. You can carry that jhana, that jhanic state, because abandoning affliction means what? The mental hindrance are no more there and so on, because they are all being suppressed. suppressed by the conditioned state of mind, by concentration, by one-pointedness, by all these so-called applied thought, sustained thought, piti, sukhang, and ekagata. So when you do that, it's possible to achieve this. But this does not give rise to wisdom. Always remember, nothing frees your mind except wisdom. Not all the fantastic, blissful state, joyful state, calm, tranquility, especially one-pointedness of mind. When you are in that state of one-pointedness, it's exactly like you are enlightened. Because when I was in my first year engineering year, I told you the first day I actually reported to the residential college, that night itself, somebody asked me to join him to attend a Dhamma talk by Chief Reverend K. Sridhamananda. So I went with him to science faculty. I remember it was held at the Dewan Kulia Wan, I think. Means they have this lecture hall. Quite a big one. So when I was there, I was so amazed. The first time I saw a monk in robe, fully bald, and Sri Lankan, tall, well-built, and speak perfect English. And the Dhamma was so beautiful and interesting. So first time I heard it, I was full of joy. Then he keep on pointing to the head here. Then he said, look inside, look inside. So that time I don't know where the mind is and what mind and all the thing. He just pointed to the forehead. So I went back, then I decided to try. I don't know what meditation is, but I just want to do it. Then I sat. Then he asked me to look inside, I looked inside. Then I saw everything was blank, nothing. Then to me, I know how to concentrate at that time. Well, I can study very well. When I study on a particular subject or mathematical problem, I can focus, I can concentrate, I can devote all my time on doing it, even physics problem, chemistry or whatever, I can just do it. Yeah. And because of that, my mind was automatically like looking inside, looking at the brain, but it was blank, nothing inside there. Because when I closed my eye, middle of the night, midnight, it was completely dark, blank. Then suddenly one bright spot appeared. So I got nothing to do, I just look at it. Actually, when I look at it, my mind suddenly like stuck there. It's like I focus, but I didn't really focus. It's like very naturally I can stay there. Yeah. Then after a while, I felt very peaceful, very calm. Then nothing to do, I give it a push. Just the mentally you give it a push. Then suddenly, from that spot, my mind like travel out into deep space, infinite space. The whole thing like traveling out. To me, it's like very short moment now. Then after that, I withdraw. Then I was telling myself, at the most, I must have sat for the whole session when I decide to meditate until I experience that. Cannot be more than half an hour. At the most, half an hour. But I look at my watch, 4 a.m. I have been sitting there for 4 hours without me knowing it. That's why Shenhua say, it's like you can go through that state, like very long meditation relative to the cultivator or the person who developed it is only very short. That's why Shenhua use a few seconds or a few minutes. Yeah. That is how your mind actually experiences time, where time is relative. when there is no movement, is actually the timeless. Yeah. So all this are the phenomena of jhanas, but you don't have to experience it. But if it comes as a byproduct, then experience it, no harm. Just go through it, yeah, so that you understand. For me, it's meant to be, because later on, when I came out to share and teach, I understand what these things are. Then when I was in that very strong egagata, when my jhanic experience was very strong, well, I did anapanasati. Then when I did anapanasati, my applied thought and sustained thought was with mindfulness, actually. Then I went into absorption. That's why I experienced piti, sukang, but I went in too deep. I went in to assess concentration, and I developed apana samadhi. Instead of upacara samadhi, before I go into apana, my absorption, I went into apana. And when I went into apana, you know what happened? I can cut off my senses. That's why I told you, middle of the night, I meditate later on. The passing car, very loud one, zoom, sometimes motorbike, sometimes car. And they like to use this road outside, Road 80, I remember. So what happened was, when I was meditating, then I went into apana samadhi, you know, absorption. Then I realized my sense door cut off. My hearing consciousness is like suddenly like shut off, completely shut off. Then I felt strange. How come no sound? Then I release it. The moment I release it, that sound came back, vroom, very loud. Then I went in again. Then I knew what it is. Yeah. Then later on, I met one of these monks, Ajahn Gadha, I remember. Yeah. He liked me because he know I got a lot of metta and I got a lot of sati, mindfulness. Then he know I can meditate. That's why he liked me, and although he speaks Thai, he doesn't know English. But from the way I describe, he know. Then he asked the disciple to translate. Then when I told him about how I can shut off the sense experience with this apana samadhi, he told the disciple, he said, "This one very good." He is the one, he said, he can meditate, he said. And because of that, he is a very good monk. He liked to have this happy mind, and his metta is very powerful. He put his hand, he put it like that straight. When he radiate metta, he put at the abdomen level. So I was paying respect in Cameron Highland, our Sanpao Si there, because they invited him to have a, I think, it's not a retreat, it's a like 8 precept. Dana come 8 precept session. So I make offering, then I pay my respect. The very strange thing is when I pay my respect, when I bow to him, he was full of joy. Then his hand, he put at the tan tian there, at the moment there. Oh, I felt the energy coming, that metta energy, full of metta. Oh, my whole heart felt. And he smiled. That's why these are cultivated monks that are very good. Then when you become sensitive, you can detect a lot of this type of thing. So what I wanted to share with you is when your heart area open up, you become more sensitive. And by paying respect, bowing, anjali, there's an energy that go to your heart. Initially starts to like activate here. Initially like very difficult. Like you are not sensitive at all. Hardly you cannot feel anything. But later on, after you develop the cultivation, the feet, especially paying respect. Then I remember the daily religious routine, the daily mindfulness. Then, of course, when I was doing Anapanasati, this area opened up. That's why I realized I start to become sensitive. I can detect many things. But later on, when I met Ajahn Yantra in the year 86-87 was Xuanhua. Then, 88, beginning of 88, I think, was Ajahn Yantra. He said the highest meditation, we choose aware all action, all movement in the present moment. Then I realized I haven't done that. Then I realized without the anapanasati, the absorption, I can only be mindful less than 5 minutes a day, you know. Then I know I haven't done the real meditation. Then I determined to be aware. You know. That's why after that, within 2 weeks, the awareness came. Of course, it was helped by Master Xuanhua also. The 10,000 bow within 2 months, that one also helped me. So because I did all this, then when I heard my teacher Ajahn Yantra mention that, then I reversed my cultivation. From absorption of Appana Samadhi, I came out, released it to normal Upachara Samadhi, means to assess concentration, not the what they call to Upachara Samadhi, means before I enter Appana Samadhi. So that allowed me to develop the daily mindfulness. Then when the daily mindfulness stabilized, I realized my nature can see things as they are. No? Then I saw a lot of things that I never see before. That's why I realized that was the beginning of wisdom, understanding. Then from there, my mind become very different. Then I realized only through sati, mindfulness, you can understand all these things. You can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. You can awaken. You can develop all this. That's why later on I realized why the Buddha mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness. He told the monk, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. O monk, this is the only way, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. For the purification of mind, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for realizing the enlightenment, for the ability to reach the other shore and other things, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. Then from there, I connect, that's why I have the faith. And I dare to do the daily mindfulness. Well, initially for cultivator who do all the jhana, the daily mindfulness like nothing special, nothing esoteric or fantastic, means no concentration, nothing. Just mindful, for what? People cannot understand. No? But when I develop it, then I realize that is the real meditation. The real awareness space that can lead you to realize your true mind, your true nature, that can allow you to see things as they are, insight into phenomena, and develop all the requisite wisdom and understanding. That's why the whole cultivation becomes very different. Yeah. So, when you are in the state of one-pointedness, ekagata, don't be threatened. If it's concentration based on jhana, that's what the Buddha went through. He knew that was not what he was looking for. That's why he was offered as equal to teach together with the two teachers, Alara and Udaka, but he turned it down. He said, no, what he's seeking is to go beyond old age, sickness and death. Yeah, he knew with all these jhanas, you still have a problem. Your body can still grow old, get sick, and finally die. That's why he continued on his own to search for the answer to old age, sickness, and death. Yeah. And finally, underneath the Bodhi tree, when he connect, he realized this form and mind doesn't belong to him. That's how he developed the awakening, the enlightenment. Mm. Okay, so now we go back to the notes. Then I can rush through the sharing. Mm. Okay, I'll move up back to just now. Some more, a bit more. Ah, second jhana, okay. Move up some more. Ah, okay. So the first jhana I've explained, the five jhanic factor. Then the second jhana is called the ground of joy and bliss. Born of, he used the word samadhi, is not correct. Concentration. Do not be attached to this blissful state. Now, this is good advice. These blissful moments or state, thinking that they are fantastic, which is really fantastic. If that happens, you will come to a standstill, means you stagnate. You get entangled with the defilement of insight. It will be of no help to your cultivation. If you want to cultivate concentration, which is samatha, don't let your mind be swayed by blissful state. Instead, keep your mind always in concentration, samatha. Because they believe in the si chan ba ting. It is said the naga are always in samadhi. There is no time when they are not in samadhi. So while walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, you should be as if in samadhi and not let your mind get caught up in external condition. This is true for daily mindfulness. When you are in the state of samadhi, means when your mind, which is a free mind, has been trained to be collected and unwavering, then in any of the four postures, you can be in that state of sati or awareness, which is a state of samadhi. Means initially is pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, that true silent mind. Yeah. Then as you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. It becomes collected and unwavering. Then during this time, you will not get distracted, because at the moment of sense experience, the mind will not stir. It's collected and unwavering. Then it can see things as they are to develop the requisite wisdom and understanding to straighten your view and to actually transform and liberate the mind, so that you are no longer deluded and deceived, so that you will not get caught in external condition. Means the external sense data that come, they cannot stir your mind and cause you to react and become emotional. Means they have failed to deceive you and delude you. You will know that mind make are there. They have the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, no reality, not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's unreal. Yeah. That's why you can see form, the unreality of form. Then you can see beyond form. Then you can see the mind state also same, the unreality of mind state. Then you can see beyond mind. Then you realize your nature. That's how you transform. You see beyond form, beyond mind. Then you realize the nature. Okay, move up. Do not let your mind wander off and get caught in sense experience. This is satipatthana. Yeah? This is the four foundation of mindfulness. When you are mindful and aware, then you can do this. Especially the kaya nupassana. After you have developed the training of the mind to develop sati to anapanasati or whatever, then after that, mindfulness of the four posture. Then after the four posture is sati sampajana. That one is what Xuan Hua is referring to means you do not let your mind wander off already. Yeah. Like in the Sati Sampajana Sutta, it's mentioned standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching aware. Means everything you do in the midst of life aware. Putting on the shoulder cloth, answering nature's call, and whatever you do, everything is with sati awareness. Then when you have this training, it stabilizes until you are incapable of like losing your awareness to be lost in thought. But most of the time you are just aware, specific phenomenal awareness and spacious awareness without a thought. That is the state of ever mindful. Understand? Otherwise you cannot be ever mindful. So the constantly meditative and ever mindful. So first train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, to develop the wisdom, which is constantly meditative, the first turning, second turning, and the third turning. Then Xuan Hua continues, the mind should be like still water, pure and clear, bright and exquisitely translucent. Means that tranquil mind with clarity, tranquility and stillness. The word is stillness, completely still, without activity, nothing. Then as you continue to meditate and cultivate, not only will your pulse stop, yes, that one is true, your breathing also will stop as well. Yeah. Initially, it's not really stop. Your breathing become very subtle, like no more breathing. Yeah. But if you continue to silence your mind and stay there, then your sati become more refined. Your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, the subtle breathing all you can detect back. Yeah. Then you can stay there, like no breathing at all. Like it become very subtle. The breathing become very subtle. And you can stay there. No thought movement on. It doesn't run on. You can stay there. Yeah. Then it's like you hardly breathe. And yet you wouldn't die on. It's like the breath is very, very subtle. Very subtle. But the awareness of it is enough to sustain you. And you feel very good, right? Very healthy and very peaceful, very tranquil throughout the day. Then that mind become like no thought, nothing. Just aware. Everything is just awareness. That's why I say aware, 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 aware. Specific phenomenal awareness. Then you need to live life, you need to think, you need to arise a thought. You will know how to use it. That's why the sati patana cultivation is very unique. When you are in sati, mind has entered sati, then everything you do is in sati. The seeing is in sati, the hearing is in sati, smell, taste, tactile and thought process, the whole movement is in sati. And that is really amazing, wonderfully amazing and beautiful. And your understanding keep on arising, the insight keep on unfolding, and that is the beauty of it. Then I read on. When your breathing stop, you will be able to sit for a long period of time. This is very true. No pain, nothing. But it will seem like a very short time. However, at this stage, you will still have thoughts. This one is provided you don't have the stability of sati. If you have stability of sati, hardly any thought. No thought at all. Unless you need to use it to live life. In the first jhana, the ground of joy and bliss or abandoning affliction, your samadhi power is still deficient, means not strong. Then in the second jhana, the ground of joy and bliss born of samadhi, you have some samadhi power, and your breathing stop. So According to Xuan Hua, the second jhana, your breathing stops, but it's not really stopped, it's more subtle. Then after that, he say, the breathing stop, actually it become very subtle, but thoughts still arise, which is very true. We are at the second jhana, only the first two applied thought, sustained thought, is been abandoned. So at the PT level, there is still some thought. You may be sitting there for some time when you suddenly think, how long have I been sitting? This is very true. The thought will arise. As soon as you have that ideal thought, you come right out of samadhi. If you don't have random thought, you can sit for a long time without any sense of time passing. You have no conception of a human being, no self, living being, or alive. But then a thought arrives, is there any errand I need to run? Oh, I have to go to the bank later and see how much money I have in my account. This is what Shen Hua postulated. Then I'm going to buy grocery. Let's see, what shall I eat today? As soon as you have this random thought, you are already out of samadhi. Your thought has not yet ceased. Then in the third jhana, which is called the ground of supreme, sublime bliss, means you are in the sukhang state that transcends ordinary joy, which is piti. In the first jhana, you feel joy. In the second jhana, concentration arises. But this concentration is infused with joy. That is still the bliss of jhana. In the third jhana, one detached even from the bliss of jhana and does not cling on to the presence of Dhamma. One transcends the state of taking dhyan or jhana bliss as nourishment and being filled with Dhamma joy. At this stage, one attains an unprecedented, wondrous, and inconceivable bliss. This is the sublime bliss of the heaven, not of the human realm. The bliss is unprecedented and beyond any happiness you have ever experienced. That's why it's really blissful. You want to taste its flavor, work your meditation practice. The fourth jhana is the ground of clear purity or abandoning thought. At the fourth jhana, really no thought, but it's a conditioned state. In the third dhyan, although the thought has stopped, thought has not been relinquished. In the fourth jhana, one completely abandons all thought, means all thought killed into one pointedness. No thought arises, no thought exists. In this state, affliction, which are compared to temporary gas and to subtle and numerous dust particles, are completely dispelled. However, the fourth jhana is by no means equivalent to sagehood or enlightenment. It is merely a state of lightness and ease attained through one's cultivation. What are the four formless rhyme samadhi? Just now, the first four is the form rhyme. These are the formless. They are the samadhi of infinite space, which I've told you, samadhi of infinite consciousness, which I've told you, and the samadhi of nothingness. Here they use samadhi, sphere. The Theravada use the word sphere. It's in that rhyme, sphere or rhyme. And the samadhi of neither perception nor non-perception. The heavens has correspond. Sorry, the heavens that correspond to this four type of arupa jhana are called the heavens of the formless rhyme. God in the heavens of the formless rhyme have only consciousness but no physical form. That's why they are called the formless rhyme. Their samadhi are called the formless samadhi. That's why I say they are object of meditation no more. They use object of meditation of the formless rhyme. These four heavens are called the four formless heavens because the beings there have no physical form. meditative concentration include the four dhyan or jhanas, but more broadly it is comprised of the eight samadhi. That's why they call it the si chan ba ting, which are the four dhyan plus the four formless samadhi. After cultivating dhyan and the samadhi, one seeks liberation. There are eight kinds of liberation. So here, I think we have to end. Almost 10 o'clock. Okay, we stop here. Now we come back to the second session.
Brother, I want to ask, let's just say in a day of working, if we are in a meeting and we have to actively engage with the people in the meeting and actively engage our thought.
Yeah, yeah.
So during that time, do we still need to maintain awareness?
Very good question. Okay, I will answer you. Because you are new, you still haven't stabilized your inner awareness. That's why you will ask this type of question, which is very good. You see, for you to have the ability to maintain this inner awareness throughout the day, you need to stabilize it. Yeah. So stabilizing it is not easy actually. But the moment you determine with the faith, saddha leading to virya, then you do, just do. That's why the word is persevere. So once you have faith, then you have the sincerity to go this way because you know the importance of it, then you will just persevere to cultivate the sati, the mindfulness, to stabilize it. Then it will come. It will come. And when it comes, I remember when I was cultivating from 86 to 89, actually beginning of 89, I developed the understanding and the connect. I was able to connect to my nature and I actually completed the training. Yeah. But during that time, I was still working. And the place I work is actually not easy. But like I said, initially I developed a very good religious routine. Every day, throughout the day is actually meditative. I was in the meditative state. So what happened was, just off it first, until the light go off. Yeah. So what happened was, every day at home, I make it a point, before I sleep, I meditate. Then the moment I wake up, I meditate. Then whatever I do, the moment I become conscious, means when the day start, the moment I become aware on the bed, I develop the awareness of my posture. Then how my thought move, what are the things that trigger off all my action and movement and activity, I develop awareness. Then how I arise from my bed, how I actually move my hand, kaya nupasana, the comforter or whatever. Maybe some of you still use blanket, I don't know. Yeah, but most people use comforter nowadays. Then how you actually turn and arise. Then how you in your sitting posture stand and walk to your washroom. Then how you answer nature's call and everything. But with clarity, how your hand, leg move, everything. Then how you brush your teeth, how you actually do all those activity, maintain awareness. Then after that, after you clean up, first thing you do is meditate if you can, or go to your altar, pay respect, meditate. Then after that, go about doing your household chores. You need to get ready for office or what, do it. Take your breakfast or mindful. Then how you actually move out of your house, drive your car, or if you don't drive car, how you actually walk or leave your house, then move to the place where you get your transport and all those things. Until you reach your office. I remember that time I was very mindful driving everything. And when I reach office, how I came out of my car, how I get the thing, how my hand actually locked the door, how I press the you call it one, the mobile thing, the one that trigger off the opening and closing the alarm. Then how I walk mindfully up to the staircase where mine is on the first floor to my room, how I open the door, how I go in, how I on the light, mindful everything, then how I put my bag, then how I set. The first thing I do is I got a Kuan Yin poster in front of my office in my room there. Then I will pay respect. Then I recite Namo Tassa, all those things. Then I read it, metta, everything. Then I sat, meditate. Then after that, the alarm will ring before the 8:30 start. Then I will officially on the light, then start everything. Then phone call ring, mindful, aware, everything, it can be done. Then later on, I clear my office thing. Then I go for my meeting. In the meeting, like you say, how can you develop awareness? Can maintain awareness. Yeah. Even that day, I think, Elsie, her daughter, very good, Jack, she told me one. She said, till nowadays, we are after attending the retreat, everything, we are after she gone through her career life, she got some problem. Then now she realized it's important to have sati to apply all this to her career, to her life. Well, last time she didn't really understood all this. Until that day she shared with me. She said, till now at least I'm more aware of my own emotion, my own feeling, and how I respond and how I react. Then he said, it's like blessing in disguise. I thought he changed job. She told me she didn't change job. She changed role because somebody happened to resign, then she took over the job. But he said it's the same office. The same company. Same company, different department. That's why he told me he went back to the same company, but different role. So it was a blessing in disguise. But he now starts to develop this sensitivity, the awareness of her own emotion, and how to apply the Noble Eightfold Path to deal with all these things. Then I say, very good, this is how you should actually develop the understanding and the cultivation. Because Noble Eightfold Path is about having the right view to accept whatever arises. Means don't stir your mind, don't react, and don't become emotional, angry. Maintain the clarity, the awareness. Then constantly reflect. Accept them for what they are first. Then focus on solving problem, resolving issue. Understand? But later on, when you have developed the understanding, the yoniso manasikara and the mindfulness, you become very different. In fact, in the meeting, you can meditate. Yeah, that's what I did. I remember when I was in the year 1988, before 89, my mindfulness was so stable. So that time I was asked to take over a very big project, the 5-star hotel, Hotel Istana. That meeting, my office, they sent 3 senior engineers, very, very senior. All of them don't want to attend the meeting after that. After a few meetings, they give up. They come back and tell the partner, I said, no way. Because it was a very, very tough project. Hot seat. Then what happened was, our company hire a very senior structural consultant. Yeah. And he is very good. That structural consultant is very good. He used to work on the Shangri-La Hotel, also 5-star. Yeah. He completed that project for the company. Then later on, the company break up. Then this company was one of my classmates, the partner. Then together with another partner, they actually got no choice but to hire him back because he is very senior and he is very good. So what happened was the rest of the engineers who are senior but they are not structural engineers, you know, they cannot deal with this fellow, you know, and this fellow give them a lot of problem. Huh. And sometimes you go for meeting, he refused to attend. You know. Then in the meeting, kena bambu, they want to see him only, they don't want to see the rest. But they know he is good. Then the meeting also, a lot of tough question. Yeah. So finally, my classmate asked me to go. He said, can you help? I said, okay, lah, pass me the file. So I read out the file. Then I went for the meeting. The first day I went there early, about 20 minutes early. Then I look for the place. Then I asked around, I said, is this the place with the meeting? Then the architect was there, you know, with the client. They were chit-chatting. Then he said, yes, this is the place for the meeting. Who are you, is it? I said, I'm Mr. Teo. Where are you from? The moment I mentioned my company's name, Kemas Pakara, you know what was the reaction? Another new one, I said. I'm the fourth one. So I look at him and say, yeah, another new one. Then I say, you must be the architect, huh, Mr. Ang. He said, yes, have a seat. He said, yeah, you better get prepared. Huh? This is the minute. I say, I already have the minute. Yeah. Then after that, the meeting went on. Very big meeting now. A lot of consultant, the contractor, the subcon, everybody was there. I think easily 30 of them inside there. So when it come to my item, the architect as usual shout very loud, Kemas Pakat, where are you? Oh, then he remember, another new one. Then he was very surprised. Actually, I read through the minutes and I check it up and I know what is to be done. No, actually, a lot of things the architect hasn't done. No, no. If the architect don't do, my side cannot do. No, then I don't need the senior structural engineer to be around to answer questions. No. So because of that, I was fully aware. Then I speak in a very courteous way. I say, Mr. Ang, I say, you don't mind. I say, there are certain things that our office still waiting from your side. Wow, he got very angry. You know? He said, you are new, you don't simply say things. Then I say, yeah, I'm new, but I checked the file. I even call your office, I say, and your man told me, yeah, that one coming, he said, their office not enough people, but I cannot say that. He said, they promised to deliver for. He said, are you sure? Because the client was there. You know? So he said, give me the name. He said, I gave him the name. Then he called the office. You know? Then the guy explained to him, well, he was a project architect. He's not the office one. He doesn't know the office got all these problems. Last time he bullied our office. Everything was so thorough. Yeah. Then after that, he said, okay. Mr. Teo, I think I know what is going on. Don't worry, this one don't bring up in the meeting. We talk over our own consultant meeting. Then after that, he become very friendly to me. You know. Oh, he know I very experienced. And then he asked me, you know, anything else that you detected that our site need to handle? And I say, I looked at the layout. It's a 5-star hotel. You know. I saw a lot of your turning circle. Bus cannot pass through, you know. the bus is very long, the turning circle now and now. Wow, he panicked. You know? He said, yeah, that one I think I know, I saw it also. Then I say, what are you going to do? He said, we are still working on it, getting DBKL to clear it and amend the thing. Then there are a few other things. There's after that, he treat me very well. When he come to my minutes and my atom, he said, Mr. Teo, don't worry. He has reported to me the item all cleared already. So he said, we settle in the consultant meeting. And then he don't point any more finger at me. So what happened was, in the meeting, I actually can sit and meditate, I silent. Well, I tend to sit at the back. So there were three consultants with me. Two M&E consultants and one QS. Three of them, they are very buddy and they talk among themselves. Then initially, after the first meeting, they thought I was sleeping. Well, I silent my, I crossed my leg, I sat on the chair there. Then I was like motionless. So they thought I sleep. So they were talking among them. Hey, Kemas pakai item coming up, the next one. He said, this guy is still sleeping. Kena already. And you know, whatever. That time the architect still haven't turned down, and I was saying the second meeting. He still called Kemas pakai. Then he asked, in a minute, sir, okay, what is happening? Straight away, I opened my eye and I answered him. The people got a shock. He's not sleeping. That's why you can be aware and do all this. What is important is your awareness is from inside. Then you learn how to observe initially specific phenomena. Well, most of you all don't observe. You all become emotional. Whatever people say hurts you, or whatever pending, like is your minute or your item that you have not resolved or what, then you got worry, understand? Then you don't know how to act, how to answer and all those things. Forget about all this. These are all unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. Meeting is to resolve problem, resolve issue. So solve it, understand? Be sincere. If you have not done, you need more time. Tell them you need more time, understand? Or if there is anything that need to be resolved, resolve it. Then the focus is always on, don't try to fight among yourself. Because most company I realize, they cover their department. We say cover their own backside, scared people, blame them. And they tend to argue, point finger on it. This is not the way to resolve issue. The way to resolve issue is working towards the organization's objective and resolve it. Because we actually function as an organization. We have certain organization objective, mission statement to achieve and all things. So work towards it. So everybody must actually support each other, develop the harmony, then develop the give and take. Which division, which department can help out? Help out. Whoever is good at certain thing, get them to come in to resolve or help out the situation. When you do that, the relationship among the various department become different. Then they appreciate. Then they will come and tell you, hey, Teo, thank you, just now the meeting. Luckily, you actually say out all those things that need to be resolved. Because sometimes I see you blame him, no use. Well, this is our inherent problem. We have to resolve all this. So we need to actually go into the details of why this problem exists, right? You blame that department, no use. Well, that department maybe cannot handle. They don't have the people, the experience, the resources and all those things. So we need to resolve all this. So resolving problem is key. The Dhamma is about resolving problem. 解决问题啊, not to argue about problem. Not to strain yourself and create more problem. Through misunderstanding, through anger, through emotion, through all the sakkayadity, the wrong view. Then we end up, instead of working together as a team, we are trying to find fault with each other and blaming each other, thinking that when the blame goes to the other department, you are free. No, your whole company is affected. So it is a collective responsibility. If we can resolve it among ourselves, then the problem doesn't exist within the organization. Then the organization becomes different. Then there is harmony. There is more understanding, and there is more like that type of relationship, which leads to a lot of happiness, instead of every time remembering this guy, I remember what he did and what he said, then you want to take revenge. So a lot of enmity, a lot of karmic negativity, and this type of environment is very, very detrimental to resolving problem and progress. So when it comes to applying the Dhamma, is to apply Noble Eightfold Path, be sensitive, then feel for others, then help to resolve problems, support each other, like Kayamitas. But don't expect the private sector and society to be so you call what? Guanji. Guanji, how to translate? Gentlemen. Not everybody is like that one, I tell you. A lot of them can be very nasty one. And they don't talk sense to you one. So be prepared for all those. But no matter what happened, I realize when you have the Dhamma, you can resolve everything amicably, and it can actually lead to a lot of understanding, harmony, and people will like you. I don't know about you all. For me, my career has been smooth sailing. Everywhere I go, the company do very well, save a lot of money, make a lot of money also. Then I as an engineer, I did very well. I helped a lot of people, a lot of organizations. Everywhere I go, I not only resolve, I turn it around and develop a lot of wholesomeness for them. And my staff all like me. So that's the way it is. It's how you understand the Dhamma and how you apply the Dhamma. So this daily mindfulness, my friend, you can develop it, and it can really be very useful and very helpful when it comes to career. But now you're helping Chan on your own.
Yeah, I'm helping him, so not much problem. No. Yeah, but then I was thinking last night in my corporate life, got a lot of problems.
Oh, definitely.
So that's why I
was in the corporate sector. My last assignment was in the listed company, corporate sector. I had to deal with a lot of corporate people. So at one time, because I was very close with the consultant, I technical, he accountant. So the two of us, we very close. Then sometimes my job, I can resolve it. We are all technical and I resolve mine. Then his one, more difficult. His one, because as an accountant, he not only asked him to do accounting work, he asked him to go and collect debt now. But not the Thai loan type of debt. These are the clients. They are Dato and Tan Sri, but don't want to pay one. Very difficult. And every time I go, the secretary will give a lot of reason. Cannot find him. When is he come back? Also don't know. So he came and talked to me, and we discussed it. And he also very good. And he took me along, you know, for a few of these. Then I went with him. Then I gave him some ideas. Also. Then finally we managed to collect them. Because I said, he sure won't pay you cash on. But during this period, cash is very difficult. But you go and do some research. What are the assets they have? Means cannot sell on their property and all those things. Or where they got land and all those things. But you do the search, or you check with the consultant that handle their project. Or what. They were known. So what happened was, after he checked already, he know. Then he told the secretary, you know, that I got good news for your company. That you ask your MD to contact me. Not only he can resolve this debt, I can help him to do he don't call it restructuring, he call it a solution to resolve all this. So finally, they met. And they talk. Then he said, you got a piece of land there, you cannot develop. You don't have the resources and you sitting down there. Why not? You consider selling it to us. We swap that against that piece of land. Then finally we got the land and we developed it. And it turned out to be a blessing in disguise for all of us. Then he said, instead of us filing for bankruptcy or those things, and your company also get all the bad name, the newspaper all come out. Yeah, we are also listed company. Then why not we resolve it amicably? They say, oh, got it done. Then a few, they got condo units somewhere. Then finally we say, okay lah, since this one now, recession, you cannot rent, cannot sell, you swap lah, we take lah. Then after that, we work on it lah. So these are skillful means to resolve all this issue. So sometimes you cannot get your payment or what. It's most of the time because, like I say, private sector, some are chow kao, they are not sincere, they don't want to pay you. But you can work around it and resolve it with them. Find ways to amicable solution. And the solution must be beneficial to both, win-win situation, and it can be resolved. And when your approach is sincere, and when you speak in a very, we call it gentle, pleasant demeanor, people will be willing to listen to you, and talk to you and get all this resolved. That's why applying the Dhamma, Noble Eightfold Path is very important. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, rejoice. Okay, almost 10:30 already. Yeah? Thank you for the good question. Okay, we better share merits. Aka Sata Chya Bhumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakhantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca Fito bhavatu loko ca Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo ho tu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can now be respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones, then we end. Thank you.